Now, there were two young preachers that Paul had the privilege of leading to the Lord. And these two young preachers, Paul calls both of them his sons, his genuine sons. That is, spiritual sons, for he led both of them to a saving knowledge of Christ. Now, we have letters to both of these brethren. We have two epistles to Timothy, and we have one epistle here to Titus. And these epistles are called pastoral epistles because Paul is giving to these young preachers instructions concerning the local church. And it makes it, I think, extremely profitable for today because we have so many courses, so much instruction, so many things relative to the local church. Actually, we only have three epistles here, and they're very brief. And yet today, I suppose there's a library full of books that are telling you how to run the local church. And I think when we boil it all down and get these three epistles before us, why, we'll find that the modus operandi is given to us here. And if there is a lack and a need, that it doesn't have to do with organization or it doesn't have to do with some system that's being put in, but rather probably a great spiritual need that is in the church. Now, I want to say just a word or two about these two young preachers again. We've talked about Timothy before, but here we have Titus. Now, Titus, I would say, from what we know very frankly very little about either one of these young preachers, he seems to have been a stronger man, both physically and spiritually, than Timothy. Paul expresses less concern for Titus's welfare. Titus was probably more mature, and he possessed a rather virile personality. And Timothy was a Jew who was circumcised by Paul, but Titus, who was a Gentile, and Paul seems to have refused to circumcise him. You remember over in Galatians, Paul tells about taking Titus with him to Jerusalem, and since he's a Gentile, he wouldn't permit him to be circumcised. And yet, he had this man Timothy circumcised when he went with him. Now, I'd like for you to draw a rule from that. And I think that the rule, if you want one, is expressed by Paul in Galatians 6:15. In Christ Jesus, neither circumcision availeth anything nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Now, for expediency's sake, in order that Paul might be all things to all men, and he says to the Jew, why, he wanted to be a Jew. To the Gentile, he wanted to be a Gentile. And so that was the reason that he had Timothy circumcised, because they're going into synagogues. But you see, the gospel was at stake yonder in the 15th chapter of Acts, in that great council of the church in Jerusalem. And Paul is not permitting one bit of legalism to slip in, and so he refused to let Titus be circumcised. So you see, friends, circumstances do alter cases, and it's a rather dangerous thing to put down a series of little rules. Think that if we go through this little ritual of rules, a great many people today don't believe in burning candles or marching up and down the aisle, but they do have a set of little rules. That's nothing in the world but a ritual whereby they attempt to live the Christian life. And friends, without a personal relationship to Jesus Christ, all of this comes absolutely to naught. Now, we also have here in this epistle a fine picture of the New Testament church in its full-orb realization in the community as an organization. I hear today, in fact, I've been getting letters from folk who say they're members of a New Testament church. I always like to ask those folk, have you had anybody drop dead in your church recently? And they said, mine, no. What do you mean? In the early church, the New Testament church, you read the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They dropped dead in the church. Ask Simon Peter about that. May I say to you, they lied to the Holy Spirit. I think if that happened today in the present day church, I tell you, the average church may be turned to a hospital because there'd be so many dropping by the wayside. Now, the ideal church is one, according to this epistle, that has an orderly organization, and it's sound in doctrine, pure in life, and ready to every good work. I think that is the picture that is presented to us here of the New Testament church. I think that in Timothy, the emphasis is put upon sound teaching. And here in Titus, the emphasis is put upon the importance of God's order for the conduct of the churches. Fact of the matter is, verse 5 of chapter 1, I would say, is the very key of this entire epistle. And let me read it. For this cause left I thee in Crete, that thou should set in order the things that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city as I had appointed thee. Now, in other words, things were to be set in order.